Here's some of the important statements in this chapter by Joel. Within each of us is the perfect self that has never fallen, has never left heaven, and therefore can never gain heaven. It is already a state of heaven. It is already living the perfect life, the spiritual life, the Christ life, that can never be crucified, never resurrected, never ascended. It is already the Son of God, the Christ within us. It has been called hidden manna, pearl of great price, the robe of immortality. Now, you know, the world is waiting, like waiting for the sunrise, waiting for the return, waiting for the millennium. And Christ is all that is here now. Who's doing the waiting? The false sense of a mortal self, which is denying Christ here now. Now, the opposite of denying is accepting Christ here now. And then we're not waiting. It's an end of waiting. There's nothing to wait for. If you wait, you're pushing away your own self. This pushes you beyond the mental acceptance into the livingness, into opening up that bud of the soul. For no human mind can accept Christhood. The human mind must die. Just as the human body sense must be relinquished to live in the self. We are changing from mortality, which was a concept, into immortality, which is our present reality. And we don't hold on to the concept. Our spiritual goal is not developing a self that has no problems. That's what the world's trying to do. That's not our spiritual goal. Rather, it is dying to the self that has the problems. And even dying to the self that does not have the problems, and being reborn to our already perfected self. Now, Joel lays it on the line there. It's the acceptance of your present perfect immortal self, which is the infinite way, not the attaining or the maturing or the developing or the becoming, but rather the acceptance of what you are. We're not interested in improving good humanhood to better humanhood. That's just a reflex action of your spiritual selfhood realized. Yes, we would rather see people honest than lying, but that isn't our infinite way. We're not interested in improving bad humanhood. That too is a reflex action from spiritual awareness. We work always in the realm of cause rather than improving effect. Sowing to the Spirit, recognizing the spiritual reality instead of being decoyed by the flesh. by matter, by mortality, by the temporary, by the perishable. Now then, if you're recognizing people, you are in a human concept of yourself, because the human concept always recognizes the human concept. And as long as you're recognizing people, you are rejecting your immortal self. There's a place where Jesus tells the disciples that if they keep recognizing people, they're going to perish. It was that Tower of Siloam where a certain number were killed and the disciples wanted to know what they were being punished for. Well, they weren't being punished at all. And if you keep seeing somebody being punished, you're seeing a human concept, and you will perish as they do, he says. Until you are seeing that only the reality of the immortal self is there, you are in the mortal self. Like will recognize like. That's how you can tell, to some degree, where you are. There is no individual such as I am seeing in my mind's eye, says Joel. There is no such self. There is no such person. Because he about whom I am thinking is not the image and likeness of God. That is not God created. That is the false sense of self that I am entertaining about that person. Now that's following through on your body is the temple of the living God. And so is the body of your neighbor. The temple of the living God. And the temple of the living God is never physical. It's spiritual. And when you see your neighbor as a physical person with your eyes, you're living by sight and not by faith. Faith says that is the temple of the living God. The Father said so. The Son said so. And even Paul, here in 1 Corinthians 3, 16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Well, the Spirit of God that dwelleth in you is the temple, and that is your immortal self. And that is the immortal self of your neighbor. And if you see a person there without making the conscious awareness recognition that that is the invisible temple of the living God, you are living in a mortal sense of this world. And as Jesus reminded his disciples, if you're still seeing people, you perish just like they do. You must be consistent in your acknowledgement of spirit everywhere. You might call it self-recognition in all persons and in all things. Everywhere you recognize your invisible self. It doesn't matter who or what. This self-recognition in all things is the way you are claiming that you are the universal self, the universal immortal body being you. You claim it everywhere. It doesn't matter what you see there. It is your invisible immortal self that is there. And you find that when you're true to that, you have the spiritual power functioning in your experience. Now, of course, we are trapped by our senses. We see forms. We have lived with forms. We have known forms. We have reacted to forms. But only because we have been conditioned through the ages. And we have been turned away from our immortal self, our immortal body, which is ever present though invisible because it is incorporeal. And so we say, over there is a person, over there is a horse, over there is a cat. And that's only true if a human being is seeing. You might say there are two channels. Channel 1 and Channel 2. Channel 1, the first chapter of Genesis, the perfect spiritual universe. Channel 2, what is called the fallen world, unaware of its identity, immortality. Channel 2. And if we're in Channel 2, what do we see? We see people. We see animals. We see vegetation. We see matter, because that's the nature of Channel 2. And because we are in a material concept, we see everything materially. But switch to Channel 1. And lo and behold, there's no crooked arm, there's no cripple, there's no hunger, there's no famine, there's no sickness, there's no mortality. There are no human beings in Channel 1. They're only the children of God, the one perfect Christ, appearing as many forms of light. One called Jesus, one called Buddha, one called Mary, one called John, one called Tom, another called Dick, and a third called Harry. It matters not. When you're in Channel 1, everyone is the invisible light to you. If you see them mortally, you're in Channel 2. If you see them immortally, you're in Channel 1. And you can tell where you are by the way you see them. We want to live in Channel 1. Channel 2 is the imitation of reality, without existence or substance or law. There is no individual such as I am seeing in my mind's eye. And that's his statement. This is a false sense of self I am entertaining about that person. And here we go again. Your body is not a physical one. Your humanhood is no more than the manifestation of what you really are spiritually. The night is like day. But all of the very best humanhood possible has not even a trace of the spiritual in it. Even the best humanhood has not even a trace of the spiritual in it. You have to go beyond humanhood, beyond the best humanhood ever known, before you find spiritual identity. You must pierce the veil of illusion that separates you from the realization of your immortal self. Now, he didn't say attain it. He didn't say wait for it. He didn't say it's coming in the millennium. He said pierce the veil of illusion that separates you from it. It's here. Your immortal self is here. And what's the veil of illusion? Nothing but belief. Belief pounded into us, even by those who believe they represent God on earth. But God is on earth. We don't need representatives. God is on earth. The kingdom of God is your being. Your immortal self is God. Now, who represents God if God is all? God is the only living being. Who is going to represent the only living being? That being you are. That being I am. This is the recognition and acceptance of immortality. Here and now. The body of God is the body of you, and there is no other body. The human sense cannot manipulate or use that body. The human sense dies to itself. And then you find yourself walking in that body of God, which is infinite consciousness. You're like the Son of Man he spoke of, who has no place to lay his head. There is no place. There's just infinite consciousness. And you let it live itself without a human interfering, without a concept trying to run reality. This is so totally different than good Christians sponging up more words. It is being a living Christ as the immortal self in God. The acceptance of his word as your word. Call no man your father. The immortal self of God is yourself. All that I have is thine. And then Joel says this, I already am the resurrection. I am the ascended man. I am the perfected one. By virtue of my oneness with the Father, I already am clothed with immortality. Now that's the I of you, declaring, I am clothed with immortality. I already am eternal being. My oneness, that original relationship given me in the beginning, this establishes me in heaven. It's all acceptance. And while accepting, you're pushing away the false concepts that have separated you from your own immortal self. Veil by veil is being rented until we come to pure being. In Corinthians, Paul continues with something rather interesting. If any man defile the temple of God, which is your immortal body, him shall God destroy. Now you see how karma works. If you refuse to live in your immortal self, your immortality, which is automatic destruction because mortality dies. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. All things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And ye are Christ's, and Christ is God, is God's. Now, these great spiritual teachers who have blazed the trails by living them, willing to take the consequences of what they knew, willing to depart from the known pathways, the safe pathways, they've proved for us our task is much simpler than theirs. We're not going out into the darkness when we know there's light there. We're not going and walking on water when we know our immortal body is there. Our path is so relatively simple compared to the trailblazers that we can only say there really have been more than one way shower for us, many way showers. Many way showers all telling us that the real way shower is our own self. For who walked out there as Paul but yourself, the Christ? Who walked out there as Jesus but yourself, the Christ? Everywhere is yourself. Everywhere is your immortal being, waiting for the fullness of you to come up out of the lie. Now, we're not going to be vain or wise in our conceits. We're not going to ask questions when we are given all of the answers even before we speak a question. We're going to try to live our immortal self, knowing that angels of light are always helping us. The Father knoweth in secret. As you turn to that inner spirit, all the questions you might have had are answered. As you commune, as you trust, as you really give yourself a total yielding of you to that inner spirit, you're merely leaving the false to accept the true. Never has the spirit turned away from an individual who seeks to surrender to it. It cannot. And then the light, which is ever present, which can never leave you, dispels the illusion you had of a darkness. There's never a darkness. Not in darkest Africa is there darkness. It's always an illusion. It's an inability, an unwillingness to accept the light that is ever present. Because we are vain in our conceits. We think we know something. We do not have the wisdom to know that as human beings we know nothing. And the moment you put yourself on the tide of spirit, knowing you know nothing, you are displaying your wisdom. Spirit is always self-fulfilling when you have confidence and a willingness to lay aside all concepts of your human selfhood and trust that spirit to be what it is. Joel says, you will now see him ascended before the crucifixion. Ascended in consciousness to the realization of his true identity. We must remember he has said, I am the way. I am the Father of one. Thou seest me, thou seest him that sent me. And Joel's understanding is this. Now he is not a man with a problem. He's not a man with a future. He's not a man with a mission. But rather, now he is the image and likeness of God. And the other self has dropped away, and his spiritual self is shining through. Those are the words that you will be saying within yourself. I was ascended before the crucifixion. The false self, which I am learning to crucify in consciousness, could never prevent my immortal self from being here. The ascension was never necessary, for I always was the child of God. There's only ascension above the lie to reveal that I always was the ascended one. So Joel sees Jesus there as ascended before the crucifixion. As you no doubt have understood, perhaps before you read it here. The complete ascension of Jesus Christ was completed before the physical crucifixion, and that's why it appeared in the material world. Your child is the same I that you are. commune with the spiritual identity of that child. Draw forth the Christ identity and watch the change that takes place. Now, this is true of children, and you'll find it amazingly true of pets. When you have been able to accept the spiritual identity of the pet, just like a child, you will draw it forth, and as Joel says, watch the difference. Let's conclude with this thought. Be lifted into a temple not made with hands, a consciousness not made with hands, a body not made with hands. Learn to shut out the physical body and to go right through any appearance to the eye at the center of your being. We go right to the eye. We stand in the eye, not in the physical body. We don't mind if the world sees the physical body, but we're standing in the eye. That's where our consciousness is. That's where we know ourselves. And this eye is not in this body. This eye is not in this city or in this country. It is not in time and it is not in space. It is infinite and it is eternal. And that is where we are resting in consciousness. And that is our temple, not made with hands. That is our life, eternal. Then the full power of the living Spirit of God is pulsing through your complete being and will appear where needed in every possible way. But mostly you are preceding the end of a mortal body with the realization and the livingness in the immortal body. And for you there will be transfiguration, not death. Transition, not death. Translation, not death. The transfiguration will be the living in that body which was displayed as the infinite body of light. Never confined, never entombed, never finitized, and you will know it is your body. This transfiguration must take place in your consciousness before the end of this mortal body. That's why it's in the Bible. It is an experience you must go through. Every experience of Christ Jesus is one that we will go through. That's why they're there. In the highest churches around this world today, in Orthodoxy, there are very few who are attempting to do what you are attempting to do now. They are living in the Old Testament, in the days of good and evil, in the days when God was going to punish his children for being sinners. And they are calling themselves Christian without the Christ. We're not making that mistake anymore. And this is going to be a turning for those religions. just as it is for us. For the immortal body that you recognize as yours is the immortal body of everyone in every church in the world today. The same body. And we must recognize it in them, or we lose it ourselves. We must destroy this temple and let I raise it up in 3 days. This body concept is the temple we destroy. We crucify it. We dismiss it from our belief. And I have promised to raise it up in 3 days. It'll certainly be a different body when raised up in 3 days. It certainly will be the divine image and likeness, because I will raise it up in 3 days. That command, that demand, that challenge has been in the Bible for you all these years, to destroy this temple that you have called your body. Not with bombs or bullets, but by a reconception. A rebirth. To come back to where you were as the Immaculate Self in your knowledge. And then I will put forth a new body conceived in the Father, an immortal body, a body that will never see death. Just after Jesus, just before Jesus said, destroy this body and I will raise it up again, just before he said that, he cleansed the temple. And that is what we must do before we destroy this temple. We must cleanse it, purify it, only with truth. Every form of concept that we have must be eliminated to make way for divine thought, pure thought, pure truth. And then the body of truth will be raised up. John put that at the very beginning of his gospel for a reason, because he knew. Only the purification of the mental temple can bring forth the pure divine body. Next week, I think, is an act of commitment. And maybe that's exactly where we're going right this minute, to an act of commitment. If you can spare a few minutes, let's just rest in the silence. We thank the Father. This has been a very joyful meeting. Thank you.
Thank you.